And we are a movement, but it doesn't just happen. When you wake up in the morning, it's a reminder. It's something that you have to know that today I need to be a movement. Today I am light and salt in this world. And it's not something, if you're a believer, you are light. If you're a believer, you are salt. It's not a matter of trying to be that. It's a matter of being that. You have to cover it up. You got to prevent it from being that because it's just in you. Does that make sense? When Christ comes in you, the light of God is in you. You're going to be the light to the world. But many of us work to try to cover up that light or to stop from being a flavor to the world around us. And it's important to understand that we are not only a movement, we're part of a movement. Amen. A movement that's been going on for history, for generation and generation and generation. And God wants to use it. Now, I want to share a quick story with you, as I do every week, something that you laugh about. And then we're going to start this series called Listen Up, because it's part of this thing of being in the movement. It's good to have the Fandlers with us today, friends of ours from Michigan, actually, but they're in Wisconsin. So they're more Wisconsinite than Missionites. So, but it's good to have you here today. There was a priest, a minister, and a rabbi, and they all wanted to know who was better at what they did. And so they decided that they were going to see who could convert a bear the best. So the priest went down to a river in the woods and found this bear by the river. This is not a true story, by the way. Some of you are thinking, really? This is not a true story. It's one of those things I tell at the beginning of every message to hopefully get you to laugh. Some of you are really hard at that, too. So this priest goes down there, and he said, they do their thing. They come back, and they talk about what they did, this conversion experience. And the priest says, well, I went down there, and I did a catechism with the bear. And I did a sprinkling of the bear, and now he's going to be confirmed next week. And they were, wow, yeah, that's good. And then the minister, he said, well, I went down and I preached a barn burner of a message to the bear. I baptized him in the water, and now he's praising the Lord. And they looked down at the rabbi, who was in a full body cast, laying there on a gurney, and they looked at him, and he said, yeah, I probably should consider not doing circumcision for the first time. Some of you are like, what? Please don't Google that here. That's funny. That's funny. If you didn't laugh, you got a problem. You should go to the doctor and say, my laughter doesn't work. I need my laughter to work, okay? Okay, so we're in this series called Listen Up, and it is easy. A lot of times that we'll look to listen out, and we should listen out. There are people we should listen to, but we need to be careful in who we listen to. It's very important that we know who we're listening to and the fact that they're listening to the Lord. One of the things that I've been really kind of this whole year and this whole movement process, actually for the last number of years, talking about is finding three people that are able to speak into your life at any given time. Three people who have permission to tell you you're being stupid. Right? Now, how many love those three people? You know, nobody wants to be that person, or nobody wants to have people in their life that tell them, you know, what you're doing isn't good. That's not smart. That's a bad decision. None of us, we all like to do what we want to do when we want to do it, right? We don't like barriers. We don't like limitations. We don't like people in our life. We like to make decisions. So when there's somebody we want to marry and we like this person, we don't want anyone coming into our life and saying, you shouldn't marry that person. Because we want to marry them, you don't understand, right? But we all need people in our life. When we shouldn't buy that car, but I really, really want that car, or I really, really want that house. And someone says, you know, that might not be a good idea, you know, you're in deep debt already, I know, but I really need that car, right? Yeah. Have you ever, you know those Bose noise-canceling headphones? Like, you can put them on, and like everything disappears. You know, it's like quiet. You know, I have a set of headphones. They're the the Beats ones that do that, and I put on, and they'll talk to me, and I can't hear a word they're saying in the house. Like, I'll be upside spending family time, and I'll put those on, and they'll be like, you know, like, don't hear a word they're saying, and they could be yelling at each other. It's just peace and quiet in my headphones, right? And a lot of times what we do is we only listen to what we want to hear in ourselves. Our only place of getting advice is from within. We think, I believe this. This is what I think is right. This is what I think I should do. I don't care what anyone is saying. And we put on noise canceling headphones in our life, and everybody else is looking at us going, why are they doing that stupid thing? Why are they making those decisions and doing that? And it's because they're only listening to themselves. Now, in this room right now, no one in this room right now thinks that they do that. But you do. Here's how you know. Write down right now on the piece of paper that you have, you know, rip open an offering envelope and just write in there, the number of people in your life that know they have the permission to come and talk to you at any given time and say, that is stupid. And you listen to what they're saying. Okay? The first thing is they know they have the permission to come and talk to you. The second one is when you feel like you're right, you believe you're right, you know you're right, you got this conviction you're right, and I'm right, and all three of those people in your life come to you and say, you're wrong. And you say, you know what? I'm not listening to you. Then those three people are not protection to you. All right, listen up. How do we listen up? I'm going to give you a story today. Then I'm going to show you this, but I want to show you this statement. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. My wife used to tell my daughters all the time, that she used to say, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts, it's a proverb, bad company corrupts good character. She would always look at the people they spent time with from the time they were very small and said, no, you're not spending time with them. Some, well, you shouldn't do that to your kids. Fine, then you don't do that with your kids and you deal with it later in life. But as for me and my house, we had people spend, the people our kids spent time with were people we knew were of good character. What and who you listen to will influence what you do. You tell me who you're spending time with, I'll tell you where you'll end up. Because when you open yourself up to something, when you make an alliance with someone, you're leveraging that relationship in a way in which they're going to be able to speak into your life. So whatever team you're on, whatever fraternity you're involved with, whatever church you go to, whatever it is, whatever connection you're making, when you open a door, covenant, when you marry someone, whatever that relationship is, they're going to have leverage to speak into your life. Now I want to show you this first verse. 2 Chronicles 18:1, there's something very important and we need to see in this first verse. Can you say Jehoshaphat? Okay, now say Joe. It's a lot easier to say Joe, and so I'm going to call him Joe, okay? So who is Jehoshaphat? Joe, okay, King Joe. Had a great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Now, how do we know Ahab? Ahab is known because of someone that you might have heard of before by the name of? Jezebel. And guys, you are not married to her.
Amen.
That's right. So don't call your wife Jezebel. So they allied themselves. They came together in relationship with one another. King Joe and Ahab came together in relationship with one another. And Jehoshaphat, who was a man of God, connected with Ahab. This is about 930 BC. Israel was split into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the king of Israel was King Ahab. There was the southern kingdom, which was called Judah, and it was the king of Judah was King Jehoshaphat. So they are brothers. They're both Israel, but The northern kingdom retained the name Israel. The southern kingdom was Judah, and they separated them at the time of Solomon. Okay? And so they came together. They got along with one another. They came together, and they were allied. They had relationship. Jehoshaphat, who was a godly king, opened himself up in relationship to King Ahab, who was not a godly king. Okay? And this is what happens. When you're in an alliance with someone, they gain leverage into your life. Now let's go to the first verse in this story. Some years later, after this alliance was made, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him and urged him to attack Ramoth Gilead. So basically, King Joe, he's sitting down in Judah. He gets a text message from King Ahab, says, "Hey, why don't you come on up here? We're going to Fogo de Chao. We're going to have all the meat you can imagine. Come up, we're going to have a party." And they came up there and they got there. And he said, "Now listen, you make sure you don't eat the salad bar that fills you up. We're just going to have a lot of meat." And they put it on green and they sat and they ate meat, and they were men, right? We just ate meat, right? And they ate meat and ate meat. And then out of nowhere, after all of this meat and eating experience, King Ahab says, "Hey, King Joe, you want to go and have fun? Yeah, what do you want to do? Let's go attack a city. Let's go kill something." Now, some of you are having to like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, in that day, they went and attacked cities. Today, we just get on Xbox. So that's what they did when they were having fun. Next verse. King Ahab of Israel, or king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, "King, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead?" There's this city, Ramoth Gilead, and it's a wealthy city. It's a fortified city. It's got many crossroads that come through it, so it has everything. It's got food, it's got entertainment, it's got all of it. And I've been thinking, you know, Joe, I've been thinking, I want that city. It's right on our border. It works perfectly, fits in. It's a nice cosmopolitan city to have on the border, you know, and it would be great to be. How would you come up? Let's attack the city and then we'll make it part of Israel. Okay, how's that sound, Joe? And Joe's in an alliance with King Ahab, and so he's like, okay, yeah. He makes this statement. He goes, I'm as you are, and my people as your people. We'll join you in war. We'll go and do this. Let's go and do that. That sounds like a great idea. Let's go to war, right? And some of you guys are thinking, really? Like, can you imagine going out with somebody on Friday night and say, you know what? Let's attack Minneapolis. Let's go war with many, right? Okay, but that's what happened. Jehoshaphat replied, "I am yours." Okay, next verse. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First, let's seek the counsel of the Lord." Now, don't you hate those people? Right? You get this brilliant idea. You're going to go do something. Man, it is a phenomenal idea. And then some yahoo comes along and says, "We should pray about it." I don't want to pray about it. It's a great idea. I want to go do that, right? When I was in high school, I wanted to be a construction manager. And I was going to Mankato State University because they did great. And there was an opportunity and I was going to make lots of money in the East Coast. And so it was already set up. All I had to do was go to the school to get the education. And then there was a job. And there was going to be lots of, and it was going to be great. And I had a plan till my dad opened his big mouth. Said, "Son, maybe you should pray about it. Maybe you should shut up." Right? Because I don't want to pray about it. I like my plan, right? And here is King Ahab. He's sitting there going, "Oh, I want to go down and attack this city." And King Joe's like, "Well, you know what? Maybe this is a great idea. Great idea, Ahab. Great. I love the idea. It's a great idea. But maybe we should pray about it." And Ahab is probably a little irritated. He makes this. Next verse. So the king of Israel, Ahab, brought together the prophets, 400 men. He went out and got these 400 prophets that are on his payroll. He brings them all together, says, "Go get all the prophets." He said, and he asked them this question, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or should I refrain? Should we go or should we stay? Should we go? Should we stay?" The 400 men come in, and they go, "Go!" And it was quick. It was fast. It was like they didn't even think about it. It was almost like it was staged. Like, well, now, what was it that he told us? Now, we're supposed to say go? Is that, what are we, and they're probably all talking. Now, is it we're supposed to say go? And what are we supposed to say after? They come in, and so here are the two kings sitting on their throne. He says, should I go or should I stay? And they say, you should go. And they go on and said, for God will give into the king's hand this country, this city. You're going to go. You should go, king. Go, go. The victory is yours, right? And King Joe's sitting there, and he's like, that seemed, forgive me, King Ahab, but that seemed a little rehearsed. You got 400 men. You know, and isn't it funny how in life we have lots of people that tell you whatever you want to hear? You know, we live in a world where people want to be your friend, so they'll tell you whatever makes you happy so that you like them. Because nobody wants to be rejected. So whatever, if you want someone to agree with what you've decided to do, you'll find plenty of people that will say, oh yeah, you should do it. You should get it. You think you should get it? Oh, yeah, you should get a divorce. Go right ahead. You should do that. He's a jerk. Right? Plenty of voices telling you what you should do. Next verse. But Joel asks, and this is funny because King Ahab doesn't even question why Joe asks this. He goes, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom can inquire of God? Like, is there not? And King Ahab says, well, he doesn't say, well, what about the 400 that just said that? He doesn't even argue with Joe. It was that obvious these guys did not hear from God. In many ways, the church has become like that. There's so many people who claim to be people of God that don't hear from God, that it's so obvious to the world they don't hear from God. Right? And King Ahab's looking at it and go, yeah, that we needed to work on that a little bit more. That did not work. Right? And King Joel's like, I hate to be rude, but you guys, is there anyone else that hears from God? Is there anyone else that hears from God? And he says, the king of Israel answers King Joe, and he says this, there's still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him. Isn't that great? That's like, yeah, there's one, but I didn't want to have to go to him. Can we go back to the 400? Like, if I send them back out and tell them to pray about it and they come back, wouldn't that work? I really don't want to go to this guy because I hate him. Isn't it true that God speaks to a lot of people in our life that we hate? Like, God will use somebody that we don't like too much to speak a truth into our life. And he says this. He says, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. It's always bad, bad, bad. If I want to do something, he says no. I don't want to ask him. Well, who is it? It's Micaiah. I don't even like saying his name. Yeah, I mean, can you see Ahab? Because he's kind of a pouter anyway. If you read in the scriptures, Ahab was constantly pouting in the scriptures. In fact, Jezebel even said at one point, he says, Ahab, what are you pouting about? I want a field and I can't get it. So Jezebel goes and kills somebody to get the field so that he will stop pouting, right? And Ahab's sitting there going, I hate this man. Are you serious, Jehoshaphat? King Joab says this. The king should not say that. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. So he goes out. So you can imagine, here they are sitting on their thrones, 400 men all sitting there. Okay, apparently. And then they send the servant out, and he goes get Micaiah, probably out in the field somewhere. And in the meantime, while they're going to get Micaiah, and King Joe and King Ahab are sitting there, these 400 people figure out a pep rally. I mean, they get it worked up. You're going to do it. And they start getting a pep rally. Doo, boom, boom, boom. We will rock you. Right? I mean, they're working themselves up. They're trying to convince them. You're going to get them, king. You're going to win. The victory is yours. And they start shouting back and forth. They're doing a stomp routine. They got it all figured out, right? All trying to convince the king that they are right. Because they don't have the word of God. They only have their voice. You know, there are a lot of Christians out there that are trying to thinking, proclaiming they're speaking the word of God, and all they are is a sounding gong because they're not hearing from God. I'm going to go on. So, next verse. Dressed in, this is where it happens, dressed in the royal robes, the kings are sitting there, they're listening, so Zedekiah, son of, you know, whatever that name is, made iron horns. He declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore their minions until they are destroyed. Next verse, all the other prophets were prophesying the same thing, so they're prophesying back and forth, you're going to kill them, no king, you're going to destroy them, you're going to spit on them, they won't even see you coming, and they're going back and forth shouting about what they think the king is going to do, that there's going to be a great victory, right? And all of this stuff's going in. They're going to give it in the king's hand. Next verse. The messenger then arrives that had summoned Micaiah. He's coming in the court. He says, now, Micaiah, listen. There have already been 400 prophets here before. You know the 400. We don't like you very much. You're kind of on the out. There's a reason you weren't part of the 400. There's a reason you've been rejected. There's a reason we stuck you way out there. It's because you never agree with us. You always think you know what's best, and you've done all those things. And so, Micaiah, you need to say what we need you to say. We've all said, king, go. You know the king, he's having some problems. He's under a lot of stress. You need to say things that lift the stress. You're known kind of, Micaiah, being the one that kind of irritates the king. He doesn't like you very much. Micaiah, take my advice, right? Take my advice and just say what we're saying. Go attack, right? That's what he says. He says, look, as one man and the other prophets are predicting success for the king, let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. Agree with us. This is what Micaiah says. As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to take a pause right here from the story because who you're listening to will determine where you'll end up, right? In this part of the message, when I was writing this part of the message, the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's not that there's a shortage of people looking for people, the three people in their life. There's a shortage of people who hear my word. Wow. What he was saying to me is, people don't stop to hear my word before they give their advice. You see, when we think of, okay, I need to find three people that are in my life that share with me, that they come to me and they speak into my life. Like when I'm doing something, they come to me and they speak something. The reason we don't do it is because, one, we don't believe they hear from the Lord. In many cases, we don't know people who get a word from the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. This is where I'm going to make the shift. Who in this room would say, I give a word from the Lord before I give my advice? Like, in my busy day, I care enough about this person. Now, I want three people in my life who get a word from God for my situation to speak in my life. But how often do I stop in my busy day, in my workplace, do I find a closet instead of eating my lunch? Do I stop and go, Lord, I need a word for so-and-so. They need to hear a word from you. And I'm not going to give them my advice. I'm not going to be like the 400 men that says, that sounds good. You should do it, King. Now that King Joe's with you, you should definitely attack. Because at the time, it made sense for them to attack. Logic said you're going to overtake that city because King Joe is now with you and the two of us together, we're better together. We're going to attack and win. Logic said that was going to happen. They were just saying their advice. They were saying what was logical. But they didn't hear from the Lord. How often have I had a word for someone else? How often have I been one of the three? We're all looking for the three around us that have a word for us, but how often have I been the word for somebody else? Micaiah said, listen, man, it would be nice to be accepted by the 400, but you don't get this thing. I don't determine what I say. God determines what I say. And I'm going to hear from him. And if what he says agrees with you, then we'll agree. But if what he says does not agree with you, I'm going to speak the word of the Lord. Whatever that is. So it goes on in the next verse. And you got to love Micaiah. He's my kind of guy. So Micaiah comes in. There's 400 people in the room. Two kings. The guy, the official, brings in Micaiah. Kings, Micaiah's here. Micaiah comes in. And King Ahab says, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead? Or shall we refrain? And Micaiah is one of those sarcastic prophets. Oh, sure. What do they think? You should definitely attack and be victorious. He will answer you, for he'll give them into your hand. Yeah, definitely you should go. You should do it. Go do it, king. You should do it. Just do it, right? They all said it. You should just do it. And the king, Ahab, knows he's being sarcastic, knows that he's mocking him. And he's sitting there, and you can, in Ahab's, you can see him just getting a little worked up in this. And this is what he says in the next verse. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to just tell me nothing but the truth and the name of the Lord? So what's great about this is it's not the first time that he's done it. Like, Micaiah does this all the time. He's sarcastic with him all the time. It's like his M.O. And he says, how many times have I told you not to mock me? Just tell me. I didn't want you here anyway. The only reason you're here is because King Joe wanted you. I put you way out there so I can forget about you. But then I get to 400 in, and we didn't practice enough, and King Joe knew it was a show, and they just put on the show. And so then he said, is there someone, Lord? And I don't even like you, but I had to bring you in, and I didn't even want you here. But now that you're here, just tell it. Just say it. What is it? Just tell me. It's not going to be good, but just tell me. What is it, right? So this is what he says. Then Micaiah answered, I saw Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. Now, to you, you may think, well, the sheep, shepherd, what is all that about? What Ahab heard was the shepherd is no longer there because he's dead. And the sheep are scattered on the hills. And those are his soldiers. And the Lord said, go home in peace. Don't go to war. Right? And he's saying that, Micaiah is saying that, you can just see Ahab going, I knew it. I knew it. Look at what he says. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Joe, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good? It's always bad. When it comes to me, it's bad. He'll prophesy good for you, bad for me. Never good. Now let me ask you this question. In the end, was the prophecy against Ahab for Ahab or against Ahab? You're going to see the end of this story. It's like a movie. It's like in the movie, you're like, no, you know, why is he doing something? Why do this stupid thing? I mean, he gets a word. Why? You got a word from the Lord. He knows it's a word from the Lord, but he doesn't like the word from the Lord. And he doesn't like it because it's just bad, and he calls it bad, yet it's protection. Do you know every one of us in this room need the protection of God's word in our life? And we need people in our life that hear a word from God for our life, but we have diminished the need for it because we look to our own intelligence, our own knowledge. By the way, the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the fall of man. And when you get enough knowledge and you think you're smart enough, it becomes your fall. Okay, next verse. So the king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon. Take him to this city, throw him into a prison, give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. So throw him away. So what happens is Micaiah gives the word of God. He didn't even want to be there. Micaiah was brought up from where he was at, brought in, and he tells him what, he sarcastically tells him what everyone else is saying. King says, tell me the word of the Lord. So he does. And when he does, what happens? He gets rejected. It doesn't mean when you give a word of the Lord to someone in their life, it doesn't mean they aren't going to throw you in the prison of their life. I'm no longer, you call them, they don't pick up your call anymore. They don't, your emails, they delete your emails. When you text message, they never return your text messages. All of a sudden, they get angry at the word you gave them. That's a possibility. It will happen. But you gave them a word to protect them. Right? Are you with me this morning? Are you with me this morning? Okay. So next verse. Micaiah declared... Now, this is, I love this part because I can just visualize this. I can see the king sitting there. Joe is just watching. King Ahab's, get him out of there. Put him back in the prison. Only give him bread and water. And Micaiah is sitting there going, if you ever return safely. And he's yelling this. The Lord has spoken through me. Mark my words, I'll be right, right? As they're dragging him out of the building. Can you see this? He's just yelling, I'm right, and you're throwing me in prison. You better tell him when you die, let me loose. Right? Next verse. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, after hearing the word, now I want you to see this. This is the power of alliance. Who asked that they get a word from the Lord? King Joe. Why did he ask? Get a word from the Lord. Because he wanted to hear if it was smart to go attack the city. They got a word from the Lord that said, go home in peace. Now we come to verse 28. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, they're there at Ramoth-Gilead. Even though Joe, who was a man of God, heard the word of God, he found himself at the battle God said not to fight. Because of an alliance with an ungodly king. Who are you listening to? Who are you allianced to? It's amazing how we find ourselves in a position. For instance, if you ever have a closing, Debbie's a realtor, in a closing, we're at the beginning of at the end of the deal, in the closing, when the attorney says, oh, by the way, we needed to make a major change, and they make the major change. At that point, there's so much pressure that the deal goes through that even though that change would have ended the deal, there would never have been a deal in the beginning, because it's at the end and the pressure of everybody around and the alliances that are there, oftentimes people will close on that deal even though they would never have done it if it had been in the beginning. When you're in an alliance with ungodly, that's why God says, don't be unequally yoked. That's why you don't marry an unbeliever if you're a believer. You just don't. It's why you don't get in a business relationship with somebody who's not a believer. You just don't. Okay? Look at this. This is, and I love this part because Joe does not get this. I mean, how blind are you, Joe? This is like, look at what Ahab does. The king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise. I don't believe anything Micaiah said. Throw him in jail. I don't believe him. That was in the palace. They get to the battlefield, and he says, you know, I've been thinking, Joe. Not because of what Micaiah said, but I've kind of been thinking. I might not be wearing my robes when we go into battle. Right? And I'm wondering, Joe, maybe you could wear my royal robes. And I'm going to wear common armor. I'm just going to wear common armor, right? And you wear my robes. And Joe says, okay. Joe, where is your brain? Did you check it at the door? I mean, what are you thinking? This is where you're watching the movie, you know, one of those horror movies. Like, don't go in the barn with the swords. And they all run in the barn with the swords. Right? It's like, Joe, what are you thinking? Putting on the royal robes. He says, but you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. He says, you wear my royal robes. Look what happens. Next verse. Now the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel, the one wearing the royal robes, the one now that King Joe is wearing. Right? He says, don't, you're going after him. That's who you're looking for. Next verse. And when the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat, realizing that they're coming after him, cried out, hey, I'm not Ahab. Hey, hello, I'm Joe. Right? I'm not Ahab. And they're chasing him. And they're running. But God drew away from him and drew them away from them. Next verse. For when the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel, they stopped pursuing him. So they said, wait, that's not Ahab. So they don't know where Ahab is. Ahab's in the crowd of soldiers in common armor. Now look at the next verse. But someone, drew his bow at random. Now hear this. You cannot outrun the Word of God. You cannot hide from the Word of God. You cannot escape the Word of God, for the Word of God will not return void. And some guy, we don't know his name, pulls his bow, puts an arrow in, and aims into a crowd of soldiers, releasing his arrow. That arrow goes through a crowd of soldiers, and it goes whoosh, right into the armor of someone dressed in common armor. But not just anyone. Someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. Next verse. And the king told the chariot driver, "Wheel around and get me out of the fighting, and I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged." And the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot facing the Arameans until evening. Then at sunset, he died. He's sitting in his chariot with an arrow in his chest, looking out at the sheep that are running scattered across the hills. And in that moment, he realized that Micaiah wasn't his enemy. Micaiah was a gift. Micaiah was trying to protect him. But that was that inner desire, those inner voice that said, "I want this. This is what I'm going to get." And he surrounded himself. And in that moment, I'm sure King Ahab wished he had surrounded himself with people that just spoke the word of God. All day long, he lived the last part of his life in regret because he didn't listen to the word of the Lord. I can assure you that will happen in our life if we don't learn a lesson from our brothers of the past. Who are you listening to? Do you know if they hear from the Lord? Do you know if there are people that spend time talking to God? And not only who are we listening to, who are we speaking into? Are we just giving our advice because we think that's a good idea? Are we part of the crowd of 400? Or are we the Micaiahs of someone else's life that has a word from God that we're going to speak because we took time to hear from God about something in their life? Every one of us need a Micaiah. There are many decisions we made in our life that have been bad decisions we made because we failed to have a Micaiah in our life that would protect us. Now, you say, how many believe God wants to bless you? But he isn't going to bless your bad decisions. I believe God's heart, will, is to bless everyone in this room. If you say for a moment that God doesn't want to prosper you, you don't read the Word. The Word says God does want to prosper his kids. In fact, you'll find hundreds of scriptures that say that God wants to prosper his children. But he can't prosper people who do not listen. If you have no ears, that's why he says, Reinhard Bonnke makes this statement, it's a powerful statement. He says, "I never pray for a revival." It says, "I've never prayed for a revival. I don't need an event. What believers need is they need ears to hear and eyes to see so that they can perceive the truth and their life changes." Yes. We don't need an event. We need a life change.
Amen.
We need to be different. We don't need one experience here and one experience there, and we go from experience to experience. What we need is a lifestyle change where we live in the kingdom of God. And in doing so, we need people in our life that God can use that have permission to speak into our life truth. Where Micaiah comes, and even though I had my heart set on buying that house, I had my heart set on marrying that person, I had my heart set on taking that job, there's someone in my life that I know is going to pray and fast and ask the Lord, "Will you give me a word for so-and-so? This isn't for me." And they'll come to you and they'll speak the word into your life. And here's the deal. Because if you don't listen to them, there's no protection. When they speak the word, you respect the word they speak. Now that's the hard part. Because I'm okay. You go ahead. You tell me what you think. You go right ahead. And if it's what I want to hear, then I, okay, praise the Lord, brother. You're a man of God. Praise God. You tell me I don't want to hear, you Antichrist. You devil. Get behind me, Satan. You don't say that. You don't say that. But you think, you know, the enemy's just coming against me. He's trying to keep us. Is he? Let me ask you this question. We got to listen up, but who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the Lord? Because the Lord will speak to you first. And if you're not getting it, he'll speak to others to affirm what he's been talking to you about. And here's the thing. Ahab knew it was the word of the Lord. That's why he threw him in jail. He said, get him out of here. I don't want anybody in the army knowing what he just said. He knew it was. That's why he didn't wear the royal robes. You cannot hide the word of God, because when it crosses your ears, it bounces around and you can't get rid of it when it gets in you. You can run from it, you can try to hide from it, but it'll find you. It's true, isn't it? Can you do me a favor? Smile. Smile. Everybody smile. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for your protection. Will you bow your head?